don't know what to do for this open.
We just...
We did a really funny segment.
It was so not funny.
It was hilarious.
So poison. Alex opened up with, "Do you know how many cheddars there are?" And I said 32, and we just had to go with it. So we started because
we were up to 20. We had named 20 different cheddar cheeses, and then you noticed we weren't recording.
He was like, "There's so many different cheddars," and yeah, it was going on for a good 4 minutes of just naming 20 cheddars. And I said, "Oh, we're not recording." Well, here we are.
Is that the intro?
I don't know if it is. Do we just start naming cheddars again?
There's got to be something. I'm starting to panic now.
What were some of your favorite cheddars?
My favorite cheddars? Yeah. I mean, I like New Mexico cheddar.
New Mexico? Oh, that's a real cheddar.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't remember saying that one. Did you say that one?
No.
I said the twin cheddars of the Ural Mountains, which were two cheddars.
Yes.
At once. Distinct. They're named Sabrina and Katrina. Leave a comment if your name is Sabrina Cheddar. Well.
Guess who has to go through a special process to get a gun license?
Everyone?
Donald Trump, because now he's a felon.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Did he get convicted?
Yes.
I didn't think he was going to get convicted.
It happened like 2 hours ago, yeah.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
34 counts.
All 34 counts?
Uh-huh.
Fuck yeah, prosecution. Oh my God.
So, you know, who knows what sentencing means or what this means for anything, but powerful people being held to account, generally in favor.
I was about to ask what a sentencing was, and you just said you don't know what it is.
They're sentencing on, like, July 11th, I think.
Sorry if you're a Trump... No, I'm not sorry if you're a Trump head out there.
Yeah, no, stop listening to our podcast. I'm comfortable saying that.
Yeah, shoo. It says Trump found guilty in... So if you're... However, many of our European listeners probably don't know what the fuck's going on because this is not their shit. So I guess we're doing a news recap now.
It's not one of the big trials, but it is an important one.
It's the Stormy Daniels porn star hush money trial.
In New York State.
In New York State. I've been following Leja Miller's YouTube account on this. I had not gotten this far. I hadn't seen this news yet. But basically, the prosecution did a really good job of thoroughly going over Trump's character and how it was literally impossible for him to not have his fingers in every single aspect of his business, for him to have not known that this hush money trial was, or that this hush money was being paid.
Yeah.
And there are ample records of it, and it was extensive and thorough, and good job, prosecution.
The case seemed really rock solid. There was this concern if like one or two random jurors were going to be a problem, and apparently not. They deliberated for like a day and a half, and then they were like guilty in all counts.
All right. I mean, yeah, like I don't know how they found jurors that they didn't find jurors that were impartial. You can't. That's literally, again, impossible. Everyone knows who the president is
mm-hmm.
or was.
But I think they did the best job they could. And I'm happy with this result.
We slash through countless enemies, forage and mine resources for our home and form bonds with a wide cast of bisexuals one day at a time on Stardew. Hades, too.
But a storm of buzz, and we're going to tell you about how we saved.
Whoa! Welcome one, welcome all. This is Storm Buds, the video game variety show where all the segments are Final Fantasy XIV jokes, including this introduction, because I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrook. Greet the buds today.
Death to Kronos.
Death to Kronos. Good salutation. We are going to be beginning our monthly theme. Every month, we pick a theme, and this one is Tataru and Taru Corporation Partnership Sponsored Pride Month. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Pride Month Incorporated by Overlord Tataru. Hail Tataru!
Hail Tataru!
Happy Pride. So, this episode is, of course, coming out the first of the second of June. Yes, sorry. And we will be covering all sorts of queer games, including this one. Now, Hades 2 is not on the cover. If you didn't know anything about Hades at all, you'd be like, what's gay about that? But it's like, come on, man, it's Greek mythology. Come on, man. You know.
The protagonist of the last game, canon bisexual.
Protagonist of this game, I haven't gotten as far as the romances yet, but I'm going to assume. given what could be the options, there's quite a bit of tension from several different characters. We're going to loosely talk about it.
And just generally, real pansexual vibe around a lot of the Greek gods and a lot of everything.
Yes, so Hades 2 is the sequel to the widely acclaimed supergiant roguelike Hades from the year 2020. It is currently in early access, and this episode will be covering basically what you would see maybe in the first couple hours of Hades 2.
I think so.
And some overall thoughts of the systems changes, what makes this a sequel and not like a DLC. Why, you know, because there was a real question about that as Hades got announced. Like, what are they going to do to make this game sort of elevated beyond what you might expect out of an expansion pack or anything like that?
Which I have thoughts about.
I also have thoughts about them. So Hades 2 is, as I mentioned, a roguelike. You wake up in your... Actually, you don't. You start... The very first thing is you start a run. You are out to kill Kronos, the Titan of Time. And you probably fail miserably because Hades 2 controls way different than Hades 1. No matter how many hours you put into Hades 1.
Okay, I'm not crazy.
No.
I was like, why am I having so much trouble with this?
This game is way harder. You are Melinoe, a witch. A witch. And she is built way different than Zagreus. Zagreus was a fighter, you know, a gladiator, kind of had his sword, and he's real quick on the feet. Melinoe, not so much. So you have your same abilities. You got your left click to attack, right click to special, shift to sprint, or whatever. You're playing it on a controller like a cool person, I guess. You got your cast, which does something different. The controls are the same, effectively. It's just that Melinoe's base stats are much lower. Melinoe's speed is, you know, her dash is not instant. There's a little bit of a wind up to it and to most of her attacks, even with all the weapons, which we'll get into mostly, some of our things like that. And everything is in general just trying to get up in your grill, and Melinoe's kit is not necessarily about being a super awesome rushdown person. It's about keeping people out of your grill.
Well, and to just talk mechanics out of the gate, one thing that I really... Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Hades 1, primarily your actions, your combat actions are each weapon has a primary attack.
Yeah.
Each weapon has a charge attack.
A dash attack.
A dash attack.
Yeah.
And then you also have your cast, right? Which is sort of like
some
a special
people,
ability.
Sometimes, some weapons had charges. You some could charge like the, I don't know. And you could like hold things down sometimes, but yeah.
But in Hades 2 so far, you have a primary weapon, which has a primary attack and a charge attack.
Yes.
You have a cast, which has a primary and a charged version.
Yes.
And you have a spell, which has a primary and charged version.
Uh-huh.
So you have like at least twice as many combat actions at any given time.
Yeah, they really did kind of multiply what's going on here. Every one of the actions you have has a hold and a charge action and becomes the omega form of that action. And that will spend a wholly new resource available to Melinoe called, I think, is it magic? I think it's just magic.
This is magic.
She just has a magic
bar. You got a blue bar.
Yeah, you got a blue bar, which is very, very new. And that adds a really, I think, a very cool new resource for the boons and the blessings and the gear to play with. There are lots of different ways you can spend or regenerate your mana or things to do with that. So there are a whole lot of combinations I have yet to discover. Currently, I am about 7-ish hours into the early access, and I don't plan on forcing this that much. I'm going to wait a bit more until things get sort of fleshed out and things get kind of retuned and closer to the release date, because we have a lot of games to play this month already. And for the month coming afterwards,
this game has its grip on me, man. I'm like 25 hours in already.
Okay, yeah.
I need to put it down so we can play other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like I have gotten to, but have not beaten Kronos, who is the big bad in this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I've only gotten to the third boss, which I'm not gonna say, and I've not beaten him. I'm like at a good stopping point. I'm like, okay, because, and this is we'll get into that later, but I will hint that like, my opinion of the game is that, especially at this point, I don't think they fixed this sort of stopgap very well with that was existent in Hades 1. between sort of the in the middle layers. But I want to talk more about what my very first impressions were,
okay.
Which was that this game is there's a lot more going on in this game, and it seems a bit more polished and thought out in terms of its plot, its aesthetics, and its mechanics. I think that the characters in the camp are elsewhere are really excellent. I'm connecting with them a lot more than I did with the characters in Hades 1.
Really? I'm having the opposite experience.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Meg or Dusa or Hades or don't really care about Achilles either. I don't know. Hypnos is way less annoying in this game because he's asleep. It's incredible. I love it. I'm so happy.
Okay, counterpoint though. Every time you die and come back, you have to talk to the Awkwafina ghost, and I cannot stand her.
She's okay. I think she's okay. And there's some direction she's going with some of the people you may add into the camp later that I really like. I don't know, you don't have to, you just ignore her, but whatever, you're not gonna. I think particularly some of my favorite new characters, and these you do meet them pretty much right away. Nemesis, love her. Love her. Love her. I think she's excellent.
What do you love about her?
She's an antagonist. She's awesome. And she is her perspective makes sense. Like, who the fuck is Melinoe? None of us knew who the fuck she is. Nemesis should be the one striking down Kronos. It's Nemesis. Like, that makes sense. I think she's excellent. I think one of the new gods is Hestia. Love
Hestia's
her.
Hestia's great.
Love her.
Hestia's incredible.
Everyone loves Hestia, though, in, like, real life, too. That's, like, not a hot take. Nemesis, I don't know. I am on Team Nemesis. I think her encounters are really fun.
They're all different. Like, they're different types,
right? Exactly. Compared to the previous ones, I don't know. I'm totally vibing with Queen Nemesis. I think she's excellent. And Karen is still a favorite. Karen is always a favorite because he's great. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was the least annoying character. And Hades 1 for me was like, God, these characters are all annoying except Karen. And now I'm like, some of them are a little annoying, especially some of the ones they're introducing, like still introducing at this point. I'm like, okay, I'm a little. There's a lot still going on, and I'm still meeting people.
There's a lot going on. Well, for me, I think part of why the overall kind of cast or impression of the story isn't working for me quite as much is everyone is so nice to Melinoe. Like, everyone is so nice and supportive, except for Nemesis, who hates you.
I think that's on purpose, and I think it's suspicious as fuck.
I hope so. I agree.
They're high. Like, every time Melinoe has, like, a little bit of a question, her surrogate mother at this point, Hecate, because basis, right? Kronos took Zagreus and Hades and Persephone, who are Melinoe's biological, mythological family.
Apparently.
Whatever. Who knows? Yeah. And so Hecate is a witch who is voiced by the narrator of Baldur's Gate 3. If that voice was bothering you and you're like, where have I heard her from? It's the same woman. She does a great job. Anytime Melinoe has any sort of questions, she's just like, straight for the pet. Don't think about anything else. And it's like, why? What's going on here? And they have yet, Supergiant has yet to show their cards. And it feels to me very much on purpose that everyone is like really sort of guiding her to be the May Queen, so to speak.
Right. This is the bit that I do like, or at least I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tropes is character who is kind of sent off on a revenge quest for things that they don't have full context for, just because then you get to do fun reveals or complications.
Her?
Yeah, I the thing here is that, like, Melinoe is being sent on a revenge quest by Hecate and the other Greek gods and other people to take the underworld back from Kronos, who has seized it from Hades and Persephone
and it's halted the flow of souls from Erebus to the underworld, and as generally doing something, but we don't know why he did that. We don't know what's going on.
Well, Melinoe has never met Hades or Zagreus or Persephone. She has no idea who these, like, she has like a photo of these people or a painting of these people in her room.
Yeah,
she's never met them.
She has an old timey flash photo.
a character who's being told a lot of things about the world by people around her who has not actually had a chance to validate those things herself is always fun for some dramatic tension.
Yeah, like there's something going on here.
There has to be. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for that reveal once the game fully comes out. And I want to play that when it happens. They're planning on fully coming out next year. But it's a good game to get into early. I'm like I was kind of waffling on it at first, but I thought it would be really interesting to at least play it and see what changes they make over the course of time.
I was
going to
wait.
And then we can revisit.
I mean, I was going to wait until it came out, and then you said we should do this, and then now I'm completely sucked in.
I think, I don't know, as I mentioned in our Stardew Valley episode, put a pin in that. I don't feel I don't feel quite as manipulated into keeping playing this game. Maybe that's by design, maybe it's not, because I think that there are way too many right now. There is a lot to improve in terms of my skill tree, and there are a lot of things I need to go just gather and do, and it's getting a little bloated.
The resource stuff is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
there are so, like, this game adds an entire kind of resource and crafting
system.
There's
like ash, there's just currencies alone, there's ash, souls, nectar, ore, fake cloth, bones, flowers, wool, salt, cinders, pearls, all sorts of other stuff that I'm just like, some of them I have way too much of and I'm never using, and some of them I can never get enough of. But, and then there's one that's just interchangeable with all the others. And there's more that Alex has unlocked at this point, and I have not. But that's too many, and it takes too many of them to upgrade anything. And I'm feeling like I'm not getting nearly as much of a reward from a loop in Hades 2 as I was in Hades 1. Even with much less going on in terms of in terms of the items to get. Hades 1 did have, and I mentioned this before, kind of a stopgap where when you kind of got to Elysium, it was super hard to get past Elysium for a while, mm-hmm. until you built up your resources. And I think this game tried its best to make that same stopgap where after you beat the second boss and then the third boss gets kind of hard by having all these sort of resources in different ways and toggles you can play with to upgrade and then try and get incremental power bonuses. But I think with the way the third level is designed, it's you're not given as much room to grow, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it kind of unbalances it out. It balances it back to the way it was, where it's your character at a base level is more powerful, but you're not getting as many resources along the way, which is like a little bit less fun in my opinion. I feel like I'm kind of starved. I'm kind of starved for boons and starved for things of interest because of the way things are set up. There are often fewer things for me to pick up, and also there are more things for me to upgrade. There are boons that only affect Omega versions versus normal versions, because there's so many new systems and spells and magics and whatever. I feel like with each run, I'm not quite getting the level of synergy that, I mean, of course I'm not still by design. I have so much to unlock. I have still have two more weapons and another, couple of the gathering tools to pick, or one more of the tools to pick. There's a lot of stuff.
I will say I was feeling very similar to you right up until about the point that you're at the 7 to 8 hour mark. Like, I had a lot of similar experiences in the 10-ish hours I've played since then, 10 plus hours. I think it pretty rapidly started to then shift into a groove where now I'm consistently getting those kind of high synergy runs with a lot of interesting things going on.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it takes too long to get there. I think this is true.
That's what I
think the problem is that it shouldn't be taking these first 7 to 8 hours, which is a pretty significant chunk of time for any game, to kind of break out of, to kind of break the training wheels off, which is kind of what it feels like.
I think the same thing. So I do really like that. Let's talk quickly about the aesthetics. I think visually this game is a slight step up above Hades 1, of course, mm-hmm. as it should be. They have more time and resources. A lot of the character lighting makes a lot more sense now. And the outline choices make for a greater visual clarity without it being overly thickly bordered or kind of jarring at times. I think particularly the background shots that you get when Milanoi is standing over the cliffs of certain places are much cleaner and much more evocative. Up until one of the levels where they sure love to stack orange on red on orange on brown, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Good luck if I don't see any RG colorblind or any colorblind accessibility settings in the menu. They have a lot of accessibility settings, not that.
There's a really cool visual thing going on in that level around the perimeter.
Oh, it's great, but it's impossible to see it in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, this is a wall, I guess. So you get kind of
Especially I love all like the background art in the Crossroads itself, your kind of main hub area.
Yeah.
I think looks super nice, even better, I think, than the Palace in Hades
One. And the spells, the incantations that you do that replace the building contractor, that way it makes way more sense.
Uh-huh.
The building contractor was stupid in Hades One because why would Hades allow that?
No, the incantations are great, and like, and a lot of like the incantations are gonna be unlocking a lot of things that make your run smoother and more interesting. It's like, I don't know, but it does almost feel like it's kind of like one system too many between the incantations and then the replacement for like the mirror, which is this card book that you have,
mm-hmm.
and then just like there's just
then the upgrades to that and the upgrades to the amount of cards you can have, and then the upgrades to your shop. There's a shop that you get in, and then there's a way to get more stuff.
It's kind of gotten to a point where I just kind of run that mostly on autopilot. I just like, I dump resources into things. I do whatever incantations are available, and I'm just kind of like, look, if I just play the game a bunch of things will like max out eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
But like,
just get critical mass.
Making decisions, for as many levers and knobs as there are, it doesn't feel like I'm making a ton of meaningful decisions.
No, I agree with that. Perhaps maybe they're just kind of throwing everything to the wall and seeing what sticks, and they're willing to cut some things that are unnecessary. I don't know that that's... I don't know how this game is going to shape out over the course of the next 6+ months. Excited to check in again. Maybe sometime next year we'll revisit it when Hades is actually out, see what how our opinions have changed, or how the game itself has changed.
I do have one additional visual comment.
Okay.
Which is might be controversial. Milanoe, I like her as a character.
Mm.
I do not love her character design.
I do. I like the Bob. I like the fuck-ass Bob.
Oh, no, her hair is great. But okay. It's like she has heterochromia and a ghost arm, and she wears a thigh band.
It's a lot.
It's just like, this is a little sort of like original character do not steal kind
of. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. She's got a Coco Chanel take one thing off.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the waist. other than that, I mean, who are some of your other favorite characters from this? I mentioned mine. I don't think you mentioned yours.
Well, the ones we mentioned, I like Hephaestus.
Yeah.
I was able to, this is a minor mechanical spoiler, but you can unlock a hot spring. Yeah, so I sat down and had a nice hot spring date with Odysseus, and
yeah.
That guy's got shoulders. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. He's a nice one. So that's really, there's a lot going for it. Hopefully there's a Nemesis romance arc, because she's queen, and she's, listen, I see her this, there's no way she's not right.
Well,
there's no way she's not right, right? Like, something's up. She's trying to take things into her own hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something weird's going on here. And like, and all the Olympian gods appear to be in on it, which is,
yeah, it's like anytime they all agree on something, we're like, no, hold on. Maybe this isn't good. I don't know. Maybe something's off.
And they've done some fun swap arounds where, like, where Artemis is no longer one of the primary gods you can get regular boons from, but she is now one of the ones who shows up and helps you out, kind of like, or like similar to like how you do Thanatos competitions, you get Artemis rooms.
Yeah, but
like,
she just helps.
Yeah, but she helps and then gives you boons.
Nemesis is the Thanatos now.
Yeah.
But I think, and that brings up another thing. I think specifically with the boons, I was disappointed not to see Artemis, because most of Artemis's boons were really good in Hades 1, and most of them suck ass now. A lot of boons suck ass. There's one set of boons that I'm particularly in favor of, and this is not something you may encounter in your first few runs, so forgive me for dipping my toes in, but the hex mechanic. After you spend a certain amount of total mana in a room, you get access to a powerful one-time spell. That shit rocks.
Well,
that's my favorite.
Okay,
thing.
Actually, this is a good tangent, because one of the things I was struggling with early on was I was like, I couldn't figure out how to use the hexes, because I was like, okay, like it's like, it's like 120 mana. I have 100 mana total. Like, I guess I can get like a mana up, and then if I use all of my mana in one encounter, which seems difficult to do, then I can pull off a hex, but like by the time the encounter is over, it took me a while to figure out that what actually you end up doing is, once you like have a hex as part of your core build, then you start building in different directions that involve like drafting stuff that both uses more mana consumption and mana regeneration.
Yeah.
So that way you start churning through mana much more quickly in the course of an encounter to get to your hex, which is really cool, but took me like 8 hours to figure out.
Yeah, well, that's a fun puzzle, and the Arcana, that's like maybe one of the only meaningful decisions I've made in the Arcana was like, okay, do I want to spend 5 of these soul points to get that the mana regen, or do I want them for the money, mm-hmm. or whatever, right? But other than that, we're, you know, other than the complaints of bloat in terms of character amount and mechanic amount, I'm really enjoying my time with this, and I can't wait to revisit it. You have one more thing.
Can I give you one more minor mechanical spoiler that I just because I wanted want to annoy you? You know all those cards you have in your card book?
You can upgrade them
multiple times.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay, each one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I've mentioned that this episode, but like whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, just like it's just like not only do you unlock the cards, but then also you upgrade it to the unlocked
with
cards.
Like it's, with like 7 different resources per different card, and you're like, I don't know which one I need for which of these cards or why. If there's a, it's a lot. It gets to be a lot the more you go in. So yeah, that's our summary of what we thought was going to be the first couple of hours of Hades. Maybe ended up being the first 5 or 6 hours of Hades, but there's still a lot left in this game to discover for yourself. Let us know if you've been spending time with Hades Early Access in our Discord. Links to our socials in the description of the episode. We've had a couple of wonderful new people stopping in per episode, talking about Stardew Valley. Oh, I remember I put a pin in Stardew Valley. You know how I made that joke at the top of the episode?
I'm
holding my mic. That's going to be audio poison. You know how I made that joke at the top of the episode about Stardew Valley being Hades 2? Stardew Valley is a roguelike. Change my mind.
Well, I mean...
I know this is kind of a Pop-Tarts or Ravioli argument, but like, I don't think I'm wrong about this.
You never die in it, so I guess
you never die in Hades.
Or no, like, okay, pitch me on this. Just like,
well, it's a run-based economy of games, right? And you never fully have enough to do what you want. You end up running out of you end up kind of racing against an antagonistic force, time, energy, or your own
sure,
health,
okay.
And then you kind of have to start all over again, right? It's kind of a day by day, like a day in Stardew Valley is a run.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Yeah, okay. Hey.
And like, you're building up the characters day by day, and like, they're all kind of doing the same things. And yeah, sure, the seasons change, but like, you're not really losing anything in like Rogue Legacy or Hades either, basically. It's a rogue light.
Well, you know, I think we can actually settle this pretty straightforwardly. Can you pull up the criteria as determined by the Council of Roguelikes for Rogue?
Are you serious?
Yeah, let's see which one starts.
Sweats Council of Roguelikes. What is this? Berlin? What is this? What?
The Berlin interpretation. Yep. Let's see. We have to get hard and soft criteria. Let's see which ones.
Grid-based?
Yep, grid-based.
Turn-based? Yep. Come on. Each command corresponds to a single action movement. The game is not sensitive to time. You can take your time to choose your action. What? Well, that's...
That's why it's hard and soft. Like it's like, but low value factors. Single player character. That is Stardew, a single player character.
Permadeath. Monsters. You're not expected to win the game with your first character. Well...
Dungeons. It does contain dungeons. It does contain numbers.
It does contain numbers. Non-movement. Modal. Movement, battle, and other actions take place in the same mode. Every action should be available at any point in the game. Violations of this are 8 times overworld. The game has enough complexity to allow several solutions to common goals. This is obtained by providing enough item or monster and item-item interactions and is strongly connected to having just one mode.
I'd say Stardew is like a weak roguelike for sure.
You have to manage your limited resources, food, and find uses for the resources you receive. Yes, absolutely. Hack and slash. Yep. There's mines, exploration and discovery. This game requires careful exploration of the dungeon levels and discovery of the usage of unidentified items. Skull key, for instance. I mean, that's a lot of high value factors for whether or not I think there's a strong argument for Stardew Valley being at least a roguelite.
Sure. I'm not gonna argue.
Hell yeah. I wanted to put that before the jury of buds. Because we could talk about like there's a weird amount of similarity between Hades and Stardew Valley.
You're just finding going back to back with them?
I mean, yeah, like...
I mean, especially like, now that Hades also has farming, like...
Yeah! I think... Oh, somebody's phone is off.
No, it's my...
Your birth control?
No, it's...
That sounds like it's from Stardew Valley. What is that?
It's a fucking tile on my car key. It's going off.
Why?
Because they pressed in my pocket. Because like, oh my in my God. Pocket, they pressed the button. What? It's letting me know that it found my phone.
All right. He found his phone, everyone.
It was on the desk in front of me. Okay.
Okay. Well,
okay, we're taking the key out of the pocket.
Now that we've found Alex's phone, we're gonna cap off our discussion here about Hades and I guess Stardew Valley Part 2. We're gonna take a little break. I'm gonna go paint my bathroom and we'll be right back.
We're gonna read some
Golly, Alex, I am so tired right now. Espousing my opinions into a microphone for tens of listeners really gets me pooped out. You know what I mean?
I fall asleep at like 9:30 every time we do one of these.
Gosh, you do know what I mean. If only there was some sort of energizing beverage.
Whoa.
Oh,
Hey.
I think I'm going to faint. Hello there.
Whoa, are you Matt Berry from the hit TV show What We Do in the Shadows and Fallout?
It is I, Matt Berry, from the hit shows What We Do in the Shadows and Fallout. And you, out there at home, is this you? Drained and useless on the floor after a very, very short day of podcasting? Of course it is. Everyone has a podcast. So much so that Nestle decided to develop its own nourishing energy beverage product just for podcasters. Pea Fuel! Pea Fuel is the energy boost you and your other white male friend need to keep giggling into the microphone while you make homophobic jokes about kissing each other, even though one of you has repeatedly asked you to stop doing that.
Wow, that's really incredible.
Uh-oh, did the other host just mispronounce a word slightly and you didn't have the energy to spotlight it and laugh about it for the next 3.5 minutes? Looks like you need Pea Fuel in your life.
No, it was a chocobo.
Silence, troglodyte. When podcasting takes its ever so slim toll on your frail psyche, be sure to reach for your nearest Pea Fuel and get revved up to recap your favorite video game. Surely on the 45th episode summarizing The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, you'll find your platform. Go on, give it a sip.
Whoa, I feel ready to determine what the top 10 video games of all time now. I just can't figure out where I'm going to put Half-Life 2.
Fantastic. Fill up your pee tank with pee fuel today. Right now. Do it. Does this dollar store binging with Babish on the floor need to go to the hospital?
We should probably call a paramedic.
Oh, that's expensive in this country, isn't it?
It's very expensive. We might just load him onto the couch.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, have fun doing that.
Wait, no.
Matt Berry, away!
He's really heavy. It's a really good Matt Berry.
What do you mean he's really heavy?
You're taller than me.
Okay, we're back, and the bathroom has been repainted. I'm sure it's just got to take some time to dry. Don't mind the smell.
It's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, my eyes are watering right now.
Okay, I did paint it with onions.
Oh, that is that good? It's like anti-ant?
Definitely anti-ant, antibacterial, and anti-uncle.
So just like anti-extended family in general.
Yeah, as well. That's really kind of the vibe going for. Just not dealing with all that.
Well, I will just sit here with my nose plugged and we'll record like
that. That's going to be great for all of our listeners. They'll love that. Okay, so our B segment today is another little quiz segment. But this one, I got a bit of a twist on it, okay?
A bit of a twist?
This is... a segment I like to call Heavens Know You're Fast, which is from the seasonal event Heaven's Turn Events from the Year of the Rabbit seasonal quest line.
Yes, of course, that famous quest we all remember
from before Alex started playing.
Fond memories.
I found on Reddit a 50 question Greek mythology quiz.
I'm sorry, what?
A 50-question Greek mythology quiz.
50.
And I'm going to give us 10 minutes to do it.
Okay.
First answer, best answer. See if we can beat the clock. Backspace.
Am I just answering or are you?
No, we're answering this. I don't know. We're taking this together.
Let's
we're all
do
in
it.
This together. 10 minutes on the clock. Go. I'm going to read the questions out loud as well. One of the most important and complex of the Greek gods, who is the son of Zeus and Leto and the twin of the brother Artemis? Apollo, I know that one.
Okay.
One of the Olympians and the son of Zeus and Hera, who is the Greek god of courage and war? Ares, we know that one. Oh, God, reading these is going to take 10 minutes. Oh, shit. The timer wasn't going. Okay. After the overthrow of their father Cronus, he drew lots with Zeus and Hades, another brother, and became Lord of the Sea.
Poseidon.
Yes. Okay, you're going to have to do the answers. When drawing lots for the share of the world, which god had the worst draw and was made Lord of the Underworld?
Hades.
Okay, come on, man. Okay, by the way, this is not multiple choice. Protector of marriage with her jealous revenge for Zeus's infidelities, who often achieved to get...
Hera?
Sure. First answer, Bester. Oops, I said Hursa. No backspace. Which goddess sprang to full-grown armor from the forehead of Zeus and is the goddess of city, handicrafts, and agriculture? That's Athena. Who is the goddess of love, desire, and beauty? Okay, Aphrodite.
Aphrodite.
Oops, I said Aphrodite. Aphrodite. He wears winged sandals and
Hermes.
A winged hat. Okay, sure. Hermes. Which Greek god is lord of the sky? Zeus. The only god to be physically also... physically ugly, also lame. Who is the Greek god of fire and the forge and the smith and armor of the gods? Oh boy, Hephaestus. Yeah, I think I spelled that right. In the religion of the ancient Babylon, Tiamat is the first creator goddess, but also depicted as what creature?
Dragon
with the T in it. Translated to woman of the fairy mound, named the female spirit in Irish mythology that heralds the death of a family member. Uh-oh, we're getting into Ireland now.
Wait, sorry. I thought
it was just Greek. I didn't get this far.
It's just a mythology quiz.
Oh, no. Well,
repeat the question.
Name the female spirit in Irish Bjork. That's Icelandic. Oh, it's too late. Jormungandr, the middle child of the giantess Angr, Boda, and Loki, is what kind of creature? I think that's a worm.
Yeah.
Himalayan folklore. What entity would later come to be referred to as the abominable snowman in Western popular culture? Wendigo?
No, that's Native American. Himalayan.
Fuck. I already typed Wendigo.
Okay, it's Wendigo.
What do they get, though? Wendigo and or
Yeti?
Oh, it's probably that. What is the name of the four-faced creator god in the Trimurti Hindu trinity of Hinduism? I don't know. Kali. She's got four faces, right?
Sure.
Or is that four arms? Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Sorry if I offended you. The Dybbuk is a creature in which group of people's mythology?
How do you spell it?
D-Y-B-B-U-K.
Don't know.
Cambodians.
Okay.
Good luck. In Hindu mythology, Meru, located in the Garhwal Himalayas, is equal to what Greek site?
Olympus?
Okay. Which Egyptian jackal-headed deity, Anubis, over the embalming process? In Arabian mythology, my lord, this goes all over the place. This really hoodwinked me. It had 10 questions on the first page of all Greek mythology. And the moment you get over it, it's like, psych! What the heck? Arabian mythology, the spirit of a murdered man seeking to avenge his death, is called En...
Jin? No.
En-Jin. I think the AN was a clue there, but okay. Which mythical creature has a lion's head, a goat's body, and a dragon's tail?
That is a chimera,
that
right?
That is a chimera. Oopsie, I said humera. Humea. I didn't type this well. I might need to clean my keyboard out. I may have intentionally put dryer lint in my mechanical keyboard to make this segment funnier. What was the name of Odin's eight-legged faithful steed? Sleipnir. Type of animal was a ratatosk, who tasked with relaying insults in northern Norse mythology? Ratatosker was...
Squirrel?
Squirrel? Why not?
Try squirrel.
Scandinavian mythology. Yggdrasil, which is the tree of life, was what type of tree? Birch.
Rowan?
I said birch.
Oh, it's a birch, sure. Yeah. Yggdrasil, the famous birch tree.
Famous birch tree. In Norse mythology, what type of animal was an Aldrum, the wet nurse of giants? I don't know, cow? With big ol' udders. In Norse mythology, we got 5 minutes left. Six minutes left. Thor's chariot is pulled by two of what type of animals?
Goat.
Goat, okay. Who was the blind Norse god who shot Baldur with a mistletoe arrow through the trickery by Loki? Hawkeye. Oops, I said Hawkeye. The handmaidens of the Norse god Odin, Brunhilda, is the chief of who?
The Valkyries?
Oopsies, I didn't spell that right. Lending his name to the English for Tuesday, Tyr is the Norse god of what?
Tuesdays.
Crying. Oh, you said Tuesdays. That's way funnier. Oh, shoot. Okay, crying and or Tuesdays. Alfheim, land of the elves, is ruled over by which god, who is associated with fertility? dickhole. Odin sacrificed his eye and Mimir's well. He threw himself on his spear in Gungnir, then hanged himself in the Yggdrasil for 9 days and 9 nights to gain what? One word.
Power.
Power. Slash ass. Often depicted with her sacred creature, an owl, and the most important Roman goddess, who is the counterpart of the Greek goddess Athena. I should know this.
You should know this.
I should know this. I feel silly. I don't know. Jessica.
I'm just picking.
Who is the Roman god?
Goddess from Theros?
No. Who was the Roman god of agriculture, wine, and fertility, equivalent to the Greek god Dionysus? I don't remember. I don't know Roman.
The Roman equivalents. Oh, this is going to kill us.
I don't know Roman gods. I'm not Italian.
Pluto.
That's Hades.
Okay.
Opaludo.
Okay.
In Roman mythology, who renews herself every morning and flies across the sky, announcing the arrival of the sun? Some bitch-ass chihuahua. Probably. Here we go. Because barking dogs waking everyone up. Who is the chief Roman goddess and female counterpart of Jupiter, closely resembling Greek Hera, with whom she was identified?
Saturn?
That's a different planet, but okay. You know what? It's not any dumber than some bitch ass chihuahua, probably.
First answer, best answer.
Sharon, what name is shared by the Roman goddess of the hearth and the brightest asteroid visible from Earth? Uh-oh.
The brightest asteroid visible from Earth?
I don't know these. Why'd they pick Romans for this space?
Rock.
The god of fire, particularly destructive aspects such as volcanoes. Who is the Roman counterpart to the Greek god Hephaestus?
Vulcan.
A relatively minor figure, who is the Roman goddess of flowers in the season of spring, a symbol for nature and flowers?
Arborea.
Who is the god of sowing or seed? The Romans equated him with the Greek agricultural deity Cronus. I don't know. Fucking... Cronuts. Cronuts. Got him. Ba-choosh. Who is the goddess of agriculture, grain crops, fertility, and motherly relationships, the counterpart of the Greek goddess Demeter? Fertilita.
That's it.
Fertilitatia. Who is the god of financial gain, messages, communication, travelers, and more, the counterpart of the Greek god Hermes? Mercury.
That sounds right.
Woo, got that one.
Okay.
King of the Mycenae, the son or grandson, who was the king of the Mycenae, son or grandson of King Atreus of Crete, Aerope, the brother of Menelaus and the husband of Clytemnestra? Agamemnon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That one. Yeah. What Cretan princess, mostly associated with mazes and labyrinths, is best known for having helped Theseus escape the Minotaur?
Arachne.
Yep. Sure, why not? I don't think it's Arachne, but whatever. It might be Ariadne.
It's Ariadne.
You said Arachne.
Arachne's a spider girl. It's Ariadne.
I was like, I think it's Ariadne, but you said
Arachne.
They're
both associated with thread.
Who was the ferryman of the dead in Greek mythology, famously immortalized in the name of Moon? Charon. Oedipus in Greek mythology was the king of Thebes, and Juan Lindy killed his father and married his mother. What was his mother called? Oh, fuck. Of course I've read this book. I just don't remember.
Thalatia.
It's like fellatio with a lisp.
Sure. So just
in Greek mythology, who was visited by Zeus in the form of a swan and became the mother of Helen and Pollux?
That bull.
What name is given to the winged horse that sprang from the Pegasus. Blood moon? Okay. God, we're under a minute. Who was condemned in Hades forever to push a boulder uphill? Sisyphus. Eponymous ancestor, big son of Zeus, who are the soldiers commanded by Achilles in Homer's Iliad? Trojans. Greek mythology, what monster had the head and breasts of a woman, a body of a lion, wings of a bird, manticore? Who is condemned to bearing the world on her shoulders? Atlas. Submit! We did it! 30 seconds left! How do we do? Uh-oh. 18 out of 50.
18 out of 50. Okay. Do we want to go back and review some of these?
Let's review some of the wrong ones. Oops, I apparently missed a question. Oh, well. It was Hera, but I said Hersa for the protector of marriage.
Whoops.
Aphrodite was misspelled, so we got that wrong. Round two, Miss Myth. What the fuck? Oh, okay. Well, apparently some of just like... in this quiz, the titles were accidentally questions.
Oh,
so that's just like round two, Misk mythology, answer provided. I was like, there was no question.
What? Okay.
Okay. The answer for the, Tiamat was a dragon, but I did spell it with a T. So that one we got wrong. The woman of the fairy mound named the female spirit in Irish mythology. We said Bjork, but the correct answer was Banshee.
Oh.
Sorry, Bjork.
I could have gotten that.
Wrong Eye Island. Jormungandr was not a worm, but a serpent. Wendigo and or Yeti was not the right answer for the Himalayan folklore. It was just Yeti.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Brahma was the four-faced creator of the god. I see now the connection between that and Brahman in Fallout.
Makes sense.
Not Kali. Got it. The Dibuk is a creature in which group of people in mythology? Jewish, I guess. Mm. Not Cambodians. Sorry.
Nope.
Sorry to Cambodia. The spirit of a murdered man seeking to avenge his death is called not a djinn. Hello, it's an ifrit.
It's an ifrit.
Hello, it's me. I make my appearance today. Okay, bye. All right, that was fun. Good, nice to hear from him. Which mythical creature had a lion's head, goat's body? It is a chimera. I just misspelled it. I spelled it him, yeah. A Norse myth, no answer provided, so we got that one wrong.
Well, I don't understand what was going on there, but okay.
Okay, yeah. Yggdrasil was not, in fact, a birch tree. It was an ash tree.
Ash tree.
Okay.
Mm. Actually, closer than I would have thought.
Yeah. It was a cow. Norse myth, and Alduma was a cow. I just kind of ruined it by saying a cow with big ol' udders.
Okay, so we're going to count that as being right.
Yeah, sure. Norse mythology, Thor's chariot is not pulled by a goat. It is pulled by goats. So apparently, two of what type of animals? The answer was goats. Two of goats? I don't know.
I don't know if this quiz is super counted. Well written.
Who was the blind Norse god who shot Baldur? We provided Hawkeye. The answer was Hodur.
Hodur.
Sure. Valkyries was right. I just spelled it wrong.
It's always a tricky one. It's like too many K's and Y's and I's.
Tyr is the Norse god of what? Crying and or Tuesdays, we submitted. The correct answer was war.
Mm.
Oh. Land of the Elves. Alfheim is ruled over by which god? We submitted Dickhole, and the answer is Freyr.
Okay, so yep. Not close.
Not Dickhole. Odin sacrificed his eye to gain what? Power ass was our answer. Correct answer was wisdom.
Wait, what is wisdom but power?
Or ass. Often depicted with her sacred creature, an owl. Oh my God, we're going to feel so stupid. The most important Roman goddess, who is the counterpart of the Greek goddess Athena? We said Jessica. Correct answer? Minerva. I knew it was a woman's name. I just didn't know which one. I feel stupid.
I could have gotten Minerva.
I mean, I played through all of Horizon Forbidden West. Minerva is, yeah, definitely there and equated with Athena a lot. So, obvious. Who was the Roman god of agriculture? Wine and fertility? Oh my God, equivalent to the Greek god Dionysus. We said Opaluto. Correct answer, Bacchus.
Bacchus.
Died. If only we didn't have this self-imposed time limit.
Yeah, I could have been like, like a bacchanalia. Aha.
Yeah, that's exactly where you would have gone. In Roman mythology.
I would have thought about killing a guy in the woods and being upset about it.
Yeah. Who renews herself every morning and flies across the sky, announcing the arrival of the sun? Aurora. Makes sense.
A lot of these.
Really makes sense, huh?
A lot of these make.
The answer we provided was some bitch-ass chihuahua, probably. Not right. It was Aurora, in fact. Okay, so the Roman goddess, the female counterpart of Jupiter, we said Saturn.
Is it Saturnalia?
It is Juno.
Juno? It's Juno?
Yes! Okay. Saturn is a fucking, it's a counterpart to a Greek god. It's, what the hell, which Greek god is it? Zeus.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is Saturn. Shared name by the Roman goddess of the hearth and the brightest asteroid visible from Earth, we said rock. Correct answer was Vesta. I wouldn't have gotten that in 9 years. God of fire, Vulcan. We got that one right. Relatively minor figure, who is the Roman goddess of flowers? Correct. We said Arborea. Correct answer, Flora. Another nice lady's name.
Uh-huh. You know, in hindsight, the Latinness of a lot of these should have made them pretty obvious.
Oh, what? Wait, Saturn? Okay, I guess I was wrong about Saturn being Zeus. What the fuck?
Wait, what's...
Is Saturn Zeus? Oh, it's Saturn... Oh, no. It is Cronus. Who the fuck was Zeus then? Zeus, Roman name. Jupiter. Why am I dumb? Fuck. God,
who was Poseidon?
Poseidon's Neptune. I know. Yeah. Pisces. That one, I know. So, good Lord. Yeah, Roman mythology. It's the same as Greek mythology. I just can't do it.
I'm going to say our actual score is like 21 because there are like three of them there that we got right.
Well, then there's like another three that are just not questions.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fertilatia was not the god. That was Ceres, which, hey, cereal.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's exactly what Ceres is. Motherly relationships. And anything else? Ariadne. Yeah, we would have known that. Oh, Thebes. Thebes' mother was Jocasta, not Thalassa.
Jocasta sounds familiar.
Probably right. Who was visited by Zeus in the form of swan? Leda. I at one point knew that. Not that bull. Pegasus is right. Sisyphus. Oh, I spelled that wrong. eponymous ancestor being a son of Zeus. Who are the soldiers commanded by Achilles in Homer's Iliad? Commanded by Achilles, not by Troy.
Oh, so not the Trojans. The
Myrmidons.
The Myrmidons. Oh, yeah. I could guess.
If only we didn't have 10 seconds left at that point. The Sphinx is the one with the head and the breasts and the woman. But Atlas was right.
Okay.
Well, that was fun for us.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of another B segment to do.
That was fine.
Okay.
That was enjoyable.
Was hectic. And that was our segment, Heavens Know You're Fast, the fast quiz segment about the heaven.
There's something here. We could do this again with some tweaks.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about tweaks offline, I suppose. Do you got anything in your quest log?
Not really. I haven't been doing a whole lot other than playing Hades 2.
I want to talk about Stardew again some more because I did, once I made that connection that Stardew was a roguelike, my mind kind of switched. I was like, this isn't a farming game. It's a roguelike. And I'm just going to do a couple runs of Stardew. I'm a year in now. So we'll hopefully, I've made it to my goal of getting Alex's 14 heart event, which was really sweet and I loved it. I'm going to put it down for a week and see if I want to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm. Because
I've got a lot to do. I'm just like, okay.
I might do that with Hades 2 as well. That's a good call.
Yeah,
put down
I
for
mean, I'm certainly going to put... I'm just going to wait for more adjustments to be made because I want the game to be more fun. I don't want to just force through it if I'm not liking... Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not liking it. I'm just like, okay, I'm at a point where like I get it and I want to just kind of be patient and wait. Because next week, we are going to talk about Signalis.
Next week is Signalis.
Next week is Signalis.
This should be cool.
You can find the links to our socials and our Discord in the description of the episode. We keep that link pop up to date. I've logged in once in the past 3 months. It hasn't gone bad. It does that sometimes. If I don't update that, it's like, I guess you're not using this anymore.
And it works now, though.
Yeah, it works now because I check it once in a while. And you can follow our Twitch. We're going to be doing we will have done a test stream, and then we'll do another stream after this. So we're going to be doing a quick pop on Stormbuds Live. If you're in the Discord, you'll have been notified of this. Just to try and do some sort of check stuff, since we're going to have to be sending me your...
Fool around a bit. Maybe start with Signalis. We'll see.
Wouldn't go that far. But yeah, maybe we'll play some Final Fantasy 14, perhaps.
Possibly.
Probably how we're going to start it out. Because it's just like chill vibes, testing, nothing serious. Don't want to do anything like that. And there's so much to do in that game and so much to talk about. There's island sanctuaries to see. And houses to make fun of. Anyway, so that's probably what we're going to do. We will have done this Saturday. But we'll do another stream before this week. And then we'll start doing a every other week streaming kind of schedule. So you can follow us at Stormbuds Live on Twitch to get that Jerome and Alex together content on Twitch.
The stuff you love.
That's the stuff you love. And is there anything else we need to address? Anything else we need to address or announce before we bid the buds farewell?
I don't think so at the moment.
Okay. Then I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I have been joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the buds immediately.
Death to Kronos.